What's up, Matt? Welcome back to the Intelligent Investment Show. I don't know how that theme music thing is going to work out. That was a little demo run. Well, but hey, why mess around, you know, and practice this stuff offline? Let's wait till we're doing it live and make sure if it doesn't go right, we, you know, fully embarrass ourselves in front of everybody.
Yeah, maybe we can get with Ozzy or something. Let us use like crazy, you know, crazy train or something for opening music.
Yeah, I think that works. I love it. I'll go back to the drawing board with that one. That was that little production mix. So that's actually one of the cool features of the Intelligent Investment Show is we have our own theme music. That's not going to be copyrighted by anybody because we did the Lost episode a year and a half ago with our friend John Law, and we deleted it because it was terrible. And that episode hasn't survived, but the theme music that he played and created for us has survived. So we've still got
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he played that. That's him playing everything. He's a good guitarist and bass player, and he has like all the mixed stuff. So he's not a musician by trade, but he's a really good musician that has an itch to do more of it. So anyway, we digress. But quick little house cleaning. So we're going to change things up just a little bit, and I'm really excited about this. I think it's a good little tweak we're going to make. We're going to make the show live every week. And we're going to condense it down to about 15, 20 minutes or so, 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Vegas time for YouTube audience and for clients and anyone else who wants to join us live. We'll do a shorter but more regular weekly update on the market. And really excited to get that going and apologize, I think, for the ones who tried to join live last time. We had a little bit of a technical glitch that we weren't live, but we got it fixed now when we're back in the saddle and ready to do whatever we do.
No, I'm looking forward. Every week, every Friday, we can send everyone into their weekend full of hope.
That's you know,
we are hope.
I love that. We talked about this yesterday, and I dug this. And I don't know if it was something you planned on talking about or not, but we had our pre-production call or whatever you want to call it. You were talking about the theme of this show. We tend to be a little bit more positive when all of the other news outlets that everyone's heard of is tends to be to sell the fear and sell the bad news. And I was thinking about this last night. I was helping my son with his math. Poor guy, he's 12 years old and he cannot understand the concept of subtracting a negative number and that being a positive. Like 5 minus negative 5, he doesn't understand how that's 10. So I had to explain it to him. I said, you know, it's if you're playing basketball and you paid me $5 or $1 for every shot you missed, and I paid you $1 for every shot you made. If I wiped out 5 of your misses, it's the same effect as if you had made 5 shots. He started to get it. Well, Matt, you and I, we don't have the ability. We're just two dudes. We don't have the ability to take away negativity from the rest of the world. There's negativity all over the place. We can't do anything about that, but we can try to add some positivity, and that's what we try to do on the Intelligent Investment Show.
What I think we do is we take an honest approach at the data, right? And I don't know that we engage in confirmation bias or we don't, you know, maybe because we are generally, we tilt hopeful. Maybe there is a little bit of confirmation bias. And I think everyone, no matter how hard they try, has some level of confirmation bias when they enter into any sort of, you know, academic exercise, all, you know, to find the outcome. Are they truly trying to find the a disinterested outcome, or are they looking for data points that support their sort of their intuition, right? What they think is going to happen, what they think the most likely outcome will be, or the outcome that they think people want to hear, or the outcome that makes them sound the smartest, right? And what we're seeing, what we've seen in you know, across, you know, financial media for years and years and years, and politics and whatever it is, people are just so they absorb bad news and they absorb bearishness so well. People are so ready to look for that other shoe to drop, and they want to be there, and they want to be there, and they want to try to sidestep that. What ends up happening is they miss out on so much of the good. They miss out on so much money that could be made. And I was talking to the team this morning about this, and I said, why do you think this is? And one of my advisors said something really, 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 really smart. He said, you know, the fear of loss has far much more, the fear of losing $100 matters more to people, has a lot more weight than the hope or the prospect of gaining $100, right? Because that $100 is conjectural, but the for some reason the fear of losing it is real, right? And that's what it is. And you see this manifested itself in, you know, all over the place. But then you look at the data, and there's really no honest data. I mean, you have sentiment data, which is known as in our world as the soft data. Okay, the soft data might support that, like sentiment. Like Umish came in today at 50.8 on a consensus of 55. That's really, really low consumer confidence. I came in really, really low. Okay, but that's sentiment data. And if you break that apart and you look at who actually participated in those polls, that consumer sentiment poll with the University of Michigan, how many of them are Democrats? How many of them are Republicans? And if you look at how many of those think there's going to be, you know, a good economy in the future on the Republican side versus how many you think are going to have a good economy on the Democrat side, there is a wide, wide, wide delta between those two groups. So sentiment data isn't data because it's born with confirmation bias in it, based on where you are at politically, where you are ideologically, where you think maybe what you have already told people, or the fact that you're simply, you know, a naysayer, or maybe you are somebody who's bullish. But, you know, when you look at the hard data, you know, it usually paints a different picture, right? And that's where I try to live. I don't put a lot of weight in the soft sentiment-based data, although it does move markets, right? It does move markets from time to time. But at some point, when the sentiment data is when there's a change in the sentiment data, the nascent stages of that will move the markets because it's kind of a change in sentiment, right? If that makes sense. But then if the hard data doesn't follow it, that's when we kind of back up and say, whoa, see, this is just people not feeling good about themselves. And if you look at the bull bears, the American Association of, you know, Intelligent Investors,
no pun.
I'm sorry, the American Association of Individual Investors.
See, oh, okay.
Yeah. The American Association of Individual Investors. Okay. These are your retail people. Okay. They have been bearish. They have the AAII bear, the bears have been over 50% for more than 11 weeks straight. That's never happened before. That's how bad sentiment got. Okay. There was one time in 1990, it was for 12 weeks, but it wasn't all in a row. This was 11 weeks straight. And just now it went barely below that to 44. Okay. That doesn't mean the bears are higher. The bears are only at 36. There's a 20% neutral position right now, which could flip back to the bears if anything takes place. So people are really on edge right now. But let's look at the hard data. Okay, what's PPI? What CPI came in this week? Do you remember our Texas Capital Bank CEO? We talked about, like, everyone's worried about inflation. Everybody's worried about inflation. I said, no, I don't think so. Well, so CPI core came in month over month, came in at 0.2. Consensus was 0.3, so obviously that's 2.4% annualized, very near target. Headline, so if you include food and energy, came in at 0.2 on a 0.3 consensus number. PPI, which is your producer price index, that's your whole that kind of leads CPI. We know that by about, you know, 60 to 90 days. Okay, where's this inflation everyone's talking about from these tariffs? Right, came in at negative 0.4 month over month on consensus of positive 0.3. You know, a 70 basis point spread from actual data to consensus data. Headline number came in at minus 0.5 on a consensus of 0.2. So another 70 basis point delta exists between consensus and what actually took place, right? So we're not seeing these inflation numbers really manifest themselves anywhere yet. I'm not saying they can't, but we're not seeing that, okay? But we're seeing a lot of people talk about it as if, you know, prices are going up by, you know, 4 and 5 tenths a month like it was in 2022, but we're not seeing that. The other thing is, we've talked about this before, is earnings. Earnings, you know, yeah, they've contracted a little bit, but not all that much. Again, back to the end of January of 2025, right before we had the market peak on February 19th, we had S&P earnings at over about $270 a share. It's hitting about 264. We're down about 2.4%. Okay, it's, you know, we're not higher, but we haven't seen a massive cave-in or contraction of earnings. And we know earnings correlate to price about 94, 95%. So if we're not seeing the earnings collapse. So we know we have that correlation, you know, in place. What's the long-term correlation though, right? There'll be fits and starts like we had in March, beginning of April. But where is this bearishness coming from? You know, the NASDAQ down, it's down to 671.60 from 692, down 3%. You take Tesla out of that, it's down about 2.4. About the same with the S&P. Tesla's had a tough time. XL, if you look at the tech sector as a whole, it's basically, you know, flat. Okay, down 1% since January 30th. Okay. So again, we're not seeing these hyperbolic inflation numbers that people keep waiting for because of the tariffs. We're not seeing these supply shocks that are going to happen. We're not seeing any of that yet. We're not seeing earnings collapse. We're not seeing any of this. Everyone's looking for this soft patch in the economy. There's people that believe there is this outsized probability of a recession. Where is that data coming from? You know, yeah. I'm not seeing that data, and I'm not an economist. So what I do is to not take a position and do my best to not participate in any sort of confirmation bias. Is what do the experts say? I'm not a PhD in economics. I don't run Goldman Sachs head of economic research. Okay. But Jan Hatzius does. And he's a really sharp guy and he's really good at it. And he's probably my favorite economist because he is one of those folks who I really think does a tremendous job of not participating in confirmation bias. He actually looks at the data and the outcome is based on that quantitative data set, right? He raised his chance of recession from 35 to 45% during this tariff debacle. My guess is, and he hasn't done it yet, my guess is he will probably lower that back down to 35% as the tariffs and the trade deals start to kind of work themselves out, right? And we start to see, now we've seen a stabilization of earnings on the indexes and we're starting to see interest rates calm down. Things are starting to feel more normal. That will probably come down to 35%. And then probably at some point in time, it will revert back to where it normally just lives on any given year at all times, which is about 25%. Yeah. And if you look at Polymarket, I know that's funny, it's pretty interesting, right? Polymarket, it was at 66% a couple of weeks ago. It's down to 36. Okay. Again, I know that sentiment data. I know that sentiment data, which we just discussed. But again, there's not these outsized chances of the economy caving in and causing all these problems. So for us, we look at that, we're like, okay, so the markets right now we're sitting at 21.5 times earnings. We should pick up, call it, I don't know, about $28 a share this year in earnings from about 237 to about 265. Okay. So, you know, we're looking at about 13% earnings growth. Okay. So the market's sitting at 21 times earnings. Yeah, we're about a 1.7 ratio to that. So is it great? No, it's not 1.2. It's not 1.1. It's certainly not, you know, not less than one, but it's not 2.5. Yeah. Or, you know, we're not sitting in a market that's at 20 times earnings with an 8% growth rate, right?
Yeah.
I'd rather be at 21.5 times with a 14% growth rate, sitting at 18 times earnings with a 4% growth rate. Yeah. So, you know, again, when you really get into the hard data, things look pretty good.
Well, another thing that investors and just the public in general has to be wary of or mindful of is two things. I'm not 100% sure you would agree with this. I think you probably would, that your data is also going to be tied to some type of a timeline. And what I mean by that is that there are certain data points that are going to be really good at giving you, or they may be more useful in telling you what's going to happen in the economy in the next 3 months, but it's not necessarily going to tell you what's going to happen in the next 2 years. And those short-term data points are going to constantly be changing. Consumer sentiment is one of those that sometimes when consumer sentiment gets too high, it's actually a bearish signal for the stock market because the public is too optimistic at times. So sometimes these indicators can be more of a, they might be telling you what's going to happen in the next 3 months, but your hard data points, you're talking about earnings. Earnings is an excellent example of a meaningful long-term indicator because it's for a very, very long time, like you said, 95% correlation between earnings and stock price. It's one that's going to tell the story long-term. And the thing that investors have to be careful of with the media that like kind of open the show with nowadays, I mean, everything people want to, it's clickbait. It's looking for ways, it's getting as many views as you can for your buck, and bad news tends to sell. So what people will do is they'll find one data point that tells a scary story, and they will lean into it with, as hard as they can and make you feel like it's the gospel, when in reality it's pretty random. I remember seeing a football analyst right before fantasy football season. I was reading this article several years ago, and a guy made the point of telling you about two different quarterbacks without telling you who it was. And they describe this set of stats that makes you think he's a surefire, like, first round pick. And then he gives another set of stats, and it's obvious that this is somebody you probably shouldn't draft. And it was the exact same quarterback. He was just cherry picking different stats. So you can take, I can describe you in one way and make you sound great, and I can describe you in another way that makes you sound terrible. Both sides may be true, but it's all about selling my agenda. And there's a lot of that that goes on in media and where we get our information. So my point to all that is investors have to pay attention to where you're getting your data from also, and not just is, you know, yes, trust the data, but also make sure that your data is fair and unbiased.
You know, absolutely. And it's that time frame that people use to say I was right, right? And we've seen people come on TV all the time, and they're always bears. I mean, they're bears. I've never seen them bullish ever in 5 years, 6 years. But let's take the S&P 500. They've been bearish since it was at 2,500 on the S&P. And now it goes up to, you know, 6,150, and they're bearish, 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 and they're bearish. And then it pulls back to, you know, that just under 5,000. You see, I told you.
Yeah.
I told you. Well, no, because if we'd listened to you, we wouldn't have participated in the doubling, right?
That's right.
So, and that's where you go back to, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
And so if you're always bearish, you know, you're going to be right about one out of every 4 years. But the I told you so's that come from that, you know, are going to be pretty loud. You know, they're going to be pretty boisterous.
That's right.
But what, again, this, and this is funky. This is a hard client data thing. If you're a client, what's your hard data? It's what we preach to our clients, what I preach to the advisors all the time. Their money. How much money did you make?
Yeah.
Did you make money? Did we make money for you?
Yeah.
Did I give you a whole bunch of reasons why you shouldn't make money while everyone else was, and I sounded really smart doing it? Or did you just make the money? And did you just, you know, enjoy it, right?
Yeah.
That's what we want to do, is we just want to make our clients money. Right. There's times when you're going to make money. There's times you're not going to make money. What those times are, God only knows. We put out something last week, and it was an article. It was based on a FundStrat article. And it talked about, we've talked about this before, about the 10 best days, right? The 10 best days of the market every year. Okay. And I don't know what those days are going to be. No one does. Okay. My guess is April 9th of this year was probably one of those days. Okay. So 10 best days rule is very simple. Take the S&P 500 since 1928, okay? Its average return annually is 8%, right? Mm-hmm. If you take the 10 best days a year out of that equation, right? And you just leave the other 250 days in there, 240 days in there, whatever it is, the return goes from 8% annualized to minus 13% annualized. It's a 21% swing. So you, instead of making money, you lose quite a bit of money every year without participating in just those 10 days. Now, if you look at the last decade from 2015 and beyond, since till today, so 2015 through 2024, the annualized return is 12%. Okay. Your return, had you not been participating in the 10 best days, is minus 10%. Minus 10%. So it's a 22% swing for not participating in those 10 best days. So for someone to try to time that, they are 100% going to lose.
Yeah. Okay.
There, it is statistically impossible. No one's that good. No one will ever be that good. No AI is that good. No AI will ever be that good. The market in and of itself is a self-defeating mechanism. So mm-hmm. they can have all the AI in the world. It's not going to help. Okay. Because as it grows, as it expands, the potential for return reduces at exactly the same rate. So you have to find the opportunity. You have to find the opportunity when there's opportunity. And the opportunity will take place at a time for some exogenous event that no one would be considering, right? And that's the old saying, we all get hit by the bus that we don't see, okay? There was a certain amount of tariffs priced in on April the 1st, on April the 2nd, okay? No one had that priced in. No one had those tariffs priced in. And that's why we saw the further capitulation through April the 8th, okay? There's no AI that knows that. There's no one that knows that. Okay.
Right.
So that's where you have to say, okay, well, you know, earnings look good. There's still a lot of demand in the economy. Demographics are still strong. These companies that we're investing our clients' money in, these are great companies with great leadership, with good earnings, and they'll see their way through these bumps, these fits and start and speed bumps. Right. But to just generally be bearish for the purpose of being bearish, because here's the thing, when you're bearish, boy, do you sound smart. You sound like that smart, old, wise owl who's like, well, you know, there's a lot of things that can go wrong, right? Including your wallet if we listen to you, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that can go right, you know? Yeah. And let's say, okay, well, what's going to go right? And if you zoom out, let's zoom out. If I'm just saying, if I'm the broken clock, and I say, no, things are good. I am cautiously, I'm not bullish right now. I am cautiously bullish right now, but let's just say I just sit up here and said the market will go up and I can never change my ticket.
Yeah.
I'm still going to be right 75% of the time.
Yeah.
When you got the egghead mouth breathers who probably still eat, you know, grape nuts in the morning before they come to work. Right. And they say, well, we think it's going to be a tough year and there's a soft patch in the economy that are coming. So we're not putting money to work right now. We're just going to stay out of the markets and we're not going to do much. And blah, 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 blah. And here's a picture of my grandma. Well, they're going to be right 25% of the time.
Yeah.
So being born and raised in Vegas, I like my.
you know how to play the probabilities. I mean, and the thing is, there are people in the industry that I know perma bulls that they don't know anything about the market really, but they just know that the stock market always goes up. That's what they've been told for 20 years or whatever. And that's just what they say. And you know what, that's not very intelligent either. And there are perma bears that, hey, if I hated the market at 2,500, what do I think of it now at 6,000? I mean, it sounds like I should still hate it if I hated it, you know, 100% ago, but they're just going to maintain their tune for the sake of getting to beat their chest that 1 out of 4 years that they're right. One thing that I'll, you know, give credit where it's due. You've been very bullish at times on the show. You've made some pretty bullish statements from time to time. You've also said some cautionary statements from time to time. And I'm not talking about over the course of 2 years. That's just been in the last few months. I mean, it was just late January, early February that you said, you know, it kind of feels like the market's a little bit stretched right now. I think cautiously bullish is maybe a good way of putting it. And it took a few weeks, but what did we get? 10, 12, 15% pullback, almost 20% pullback. You were pointing out fairly that I was wrong in our last episode that I said you called the bottom on April 4th. We went to playback. We went and watched the replay, and it turns out
I want a replay. Like
you threw the red flag. Yeah,
Oilers game. I wanted a replay on that one, but
yeah, you threw the red flag and said no. I did not call a bottom. If you go back and listen to it, you said that you thought that once the data came, whatever the catalyst was that turned this thing around, it was going to be a rip your face off rally, and it turns out 2 days later, a catalyst happened and the market ripped your face off. And you also said on that show that you thought once that happened, it would get to 5,500 in a pretty short time period. Or did you might have even said the time frame. Since you reviewed the replay, maybe you did say next week or you gave a timeline.
I did. I said I think we could revisit 5,500 next week.
Right.
And that was really like, that was I was like a cartoon ostrich sticking my neck way, way out.
Yeah. And sometimes you get it right. Sometimes you don't. You got the first part right. I mean, it was pretty close. You did get a big rip your face off, but you didn't get it. It didn't come close to 5,500. It was only 5,481. So you missed that by like 18, 19 points. So, you know, you win some, you lose some.
I'm going to fire myself.
Who can fire you? Your clients can fire you. Do you ever think about firing yourself? Sometimes I do.
I would love to fire myself. I'm the worst employee ever.
I really am.
I'm the worst. I am the worst thing that's ever happened to ARPG. Like my staff, if they could fire anybody, they would fire me, and I would agree with them. I just like, you know, being able to leave when I want. So,
yeah, that's fair. Well, I think we're over. We said 15 minutes. We're at 25. So maybe we should say it'll probably be 30. It would be 15 minutes if we just talked about, you know, if we were just like a talking head that talked with the really stuffy voice like you used earlier. You did a better impression of it than I can. But we're Matt and Garrett, so we're gonna goof off a little bit.
You know what, dude? We're just a pile of mashed potatoes in like a Ziploc baggie right now. We're just gonna conform to whatever shape it is. It doesn't matter, right? I mean, if we're 15 minutes, we're 15 minutes. If we're 30 minutes, we're 30 minutes. If we're 26 and a half minutes, we're 26 and a half minutes.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. We just go.
Yeah. Well, I think this is gonna be a lot of fun. I'm excited to do it weekly, one way or the other, whether it's 15 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. I think that's a good regular cadence. 2 weeks is too long to go without getting to see that slick hair and hear from that big egghead brain of yours. So I'm excited to do this. So for viewers, listeners, if you listen on the podcast, you can't listen to the podcast live, but you can watch us on YouTube Fridays at 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Pacific. If you are on YouTube, you can watch live, but if you do miss it, the replay will be available very shortly on the Wealth Partners YouTube channel. As always, neither Matt nor I are here to give you financial advice. The Intelligent Investment Show is for entertainment and educational purposes. We do not know you, so we don't know what you should do with your money. But if you would like to reach out to Matt and his team, you can visit intelligentinvestment.com or give Matt a call at 702-655-8300, and he would be more than happy to do the best job that he can, or whoever replaces him if he ever manages to get fired.
We are here to educate and annoy.
That's right. I like that. I think that's a better tagline. We're here to educate and annoy. That's fantastic. Well, Matt, always a pleasure, brother. Enjoyed it. We'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
See you next week, bro.
See you, man. As always, the Intelligent Investment Show is for your entertainment, education, and general amusement purposes only. It is not intended to be financial advice or investment advice of any kind. Neither Matt nor I or any of our companies or associated entities know anything about your financial circumstances, so it would be unwise for us to tell you what to do with your money. We encourage you to seek a professional if you do have questions about your portfolio or your financial plans. If you would like to reach Matt and his team, you may do so by giving him a call at 702-655-8300 or visiting intelligentinvestment.com. We thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time. Discussions in the Intelligent Investment Show are for educational purposes only. The information presented should not be considered specific investment advice or a recommendation to take any particular course of action. Always consult with a financial professional regarding your personal situation before making investment or financial decisions. The views and opinions expressed are based on current economic and market conditions and are subject to change. There is no guarantee that any statements of future expectations will come to fruition. All investing involves risk, including the potential for loss of principal. Securities offered through United Planners Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through American Retirement Planning Group, ARPG, and United Planners are independent companies. Garrett Lill and Wealth Partners are not affiliated with ARPG or United Planners. Any endorsement that I may have given during this recording, it is important to note that I am not a client of ARPG. The views expressed should not be considered representative in any way of my past, present, or future experience with Matt or ARPG. No incentives have been provided to me in connection with any endorsements I may have given on the Intelligent Investment Show. Investing involves risks, and there is no guarantee of any future results, performance, or success.